Blog Talk Radio.
Will we make it out alive? Alright, alright. Don't judge you wild.
Hands on the mausoleum floor. Bloodstains the Coliseum door.
Broadcast live and heard around the world. You are now listening to the most entertaining hour of radio on the planet. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com with your hosts, Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour is your home for football analysis from the best fantasy players in the world every single week. And now, because they each lost a bet to the prognosticator, here are Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak.
Thank you once again, Rob. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this August 9th episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com and Subway right here on Blog Talk Radio live from the Verizon Studios. Support for the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour is provided in part by Subway, who wants to remind you that it's avocado season. Add avocado to favorites like the Subway Club or the Turkey and Spinach now. That's Subway, the official training restaurant of athletes everywhere. Greetings and salutations, all you Balkaholics in the chat room, downloading on iTunes, listening later on. We appreciate the downloads. I'm your pedestrian host, Eric Balkman. My co-host is the underwhelming Dave Gerzak, and of course, the below average and our mutual friend and producer, Rob, and then the stellar and awesome audio engineer, Bryce. All working on the show tonight. Coming up on tonight's show, we'll play a Yaman or nine with some of the more fluid running back situations in the NFL. Plus, tonight we have two guests for you. Dave, how many guests do we have tonight?
We have two.
Two guests! joining us in at just about quarter past the hour will be FFPC Draft Experts player Mark Moyer, who will tell us how he's been so successful with that format and other formats over the past few years. Then we'll have Stan Mithios from Stanima.com to hang out for the rest of the show, fulfilling our Canadian requirement for 2013 guest, Dave.
Beauty, eh?
Yeah, he's got dual citizenship in both the Toronto, Canada, and the Raleigh, North Carolina. So
nice.
So
he has citizenship in those states.
Well, maybe. In those countries, like that's where he calls, or that's
Canada
where he got
and the
it
United
from.
States, to clarify.
Yes. Shout out to the chat room right now. You guys are awesome for being in there. If you guys get any questions for me, for Dave, for Stan, for Mark, for Bryce, for Rob, for anyone, post them in there now. Send your tweets to at HSFFHour, Facebook.com/TheHighStakesFantasyFootballHour. The phone number is right on your screen there. It's 347-426-3682. And, of course, you can always email the FedEx inbox at HighStakesFantasyFootball@gmail.com. No fantasy feedback this week because we have two guests, and I can't wait to talk about next week's show. We'll talk about that at the end of the podcast, what's going on with that. But that's going to be a lot of fun. But we do have Fantasy Flash tonight, so let's get into it because we have a lot of running back situations to discuss as the preseason is here, Dave.
Oh, it's so great.
We watched preseason last night. We watched preseason tonight. We have in the Verizon Studios right now the Eagles-Patriots game on, which is, you know, you and I said this before, like, man, I wish I had a guy going in this game with all the points that have been scored.
Yeah.
It's been crazy.
I know. I wish it was we had preseason fantasy.
The FFPC should do preseason fantasy, like draft in like February or something like that. It's like a total like luck factor. Like you don't know who's going to, know.
Like Victor Cruz would have been awesome.
I was just
going
to say Victor Cruz. Yeah, that's the first guy that came to mind.
Yep.
But let's
Garrett Blount would have been the MVP.
Oh, my gosh. That run was freaking unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about the first running back situation I want to get to tonight. And this is, of course, reported from the New Orleans Times Picayune. They apparently believe that Mark Ingram's, quote, fantasy football stock is about to rise. This is something that you've been talking about for the past week or so, roughly, maybe the past few days. I don't know. It's all blurring together at this point. But the beat writer for the New Orleans Times Picayune, Mike Triplett, says that he expects Ingram to turn heads tonight if he looks anywhere near as impressive as he has looked throughout camp. Jeff Duncan, who also works at the NOTUP, as I'm going to call it now, the NOTUP, he calls Ingram the most impressive player in Saints camp. He believes he's primed for a breakout season. Pierre Thomas did not play tonight, and of course Thomas was listed as the starter ahead of Ingram and both Ingram and Darren Sproles on the depth chart. But maybe Ingram might be the value there in fantasy drafts right now. According to FFPC ADP, Ingram going in the mid-ninth, Pierre Thomas in the early 11th, but those values are probably going to change after tonight. Maybe they already have started to change.
I've actually seen it flip where Thomas was going ahead of Ingram, and it's funny because it took so long for them to flip, and now they'll probably flip right back, like pretty quickly.
I'm going to have Rob.
I think Ingram had 3 rushes for 12 yards, if I remember right. It was like a long of 6. So
right.
He did, you know, just okay.
Okay. But I'm going to have Rob wheel in the old Yamaha 9 machine here. And we're going to play this with Saints running backs.
All right.
Okay. We're going to play it with more than just Saints running backs. But I'm going to ask you here, and you know the Yamaha 9 button. In fact, we have a new setup on the Yamaha 9 button here.
Oh, yeah. This week. It's working really well.
No, I'm trying to get used to it. Okay. So basically, you tell me when...
Don't hit the cart.
When the cart's already been hit. It's too late. It's too late for that. I'm already screwing things up all over the place here. Okay, but here's what I'm going to start it off at. The guy who's being drafted highest right now among Saints running backs, you tell me if you would take him, you know, basically where they're going, okay? All right. Darren Sproles. And then, obviously, you look. Just give me the head nod or the head shake. All right. Darren Sproles?
Yeah, man!
I totally agree with that. I'm on board with Sproles. Even in the second, third round, that's totally fine. All those passes he's going to catch. Mark Ingram.
Yeah, man!
Totally agree there again.
You do? What?
Yeah,
I do. A few days ago, you were just like...
Nah, I'm on board now.
It's okay. It's all right to switch to me because,
You've convinced me.
I mean, the argument is that Ingram, because he was the more highly valued running back taken early in the draft.
Right.
Sean Payton's back. And that Ingram could actually have 200 carries. They lose Chris Ivory, so it's reasonable to assume that. And they actually had very, very few rushing attempts, even for the Saints last year. So this year they could really emerge with more, even over 400.
And then finally, the last one, Pierre Thomas.
Which is really weird.
I'm going to agree with you on that just because I remember last year he did not – he was not very good in when he did get action.
He was good.
He wasn't that great.
I thought he averaged over 5 yards a carry, man.
Yeah, but I'm talking fantasy point-wise. I mean, he didn't even put up double digits in a couple of those games.
I mean, what do you expect? You can't get him out of every game. I mean, 10 points a week is about what he would hit. But Ingram has a shot to actually be a legit RB2.
You're right. I mean, he definitely has a higher upside. I'm not going to argue that. I think you're totally right there. ESPN Broncos beat writer Jeff Legwald predicted on SportsCenter that Denver's 2013 running back situation will frustrate fantasy owners. The quote, "I think all year they're going to frustrate fantasy players with their rotation." He said that Ronnie Hillman would be Denver's week one starter, assuming he doesn't fumble in the preseason. And then Monte Ball is just going to get in there enough to screw things up. You know, so basically – his whole assertion, if you play fantasy football and want to take running backs in Denver, stay away from it because they're just going to frustrate you. What do you think about that? Yeah, I mean, is that analysis you agree with?
I would look at Hillman if he was at the right spot. I'm not interested in Monte Ball really at all. I was not a big fan of his skill set coming out of college. I know if he got the RB1 job for Denver, I would consider him, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. So if Hillman's there in like the 9th, 8th maybe – but I won't take him in the 7th or earlier.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like you have to get him, you know, at a point that you're comfortable with, and I don't know if I'm comfortable with Monte Ball. So let's just lead off with that. Monte Ball, Yamaha 9. I'm on board, too much risk. I'll find somebody else I like better there. Ronnie Hillman, of course, Monte Ball at the 502, he's been climbing. Ronnie Hillman at the 1004, he's also been climbing to 7th, 8th round sometimes. So Ronnie Hillman.
At the 10:04.
Yeah, man.
I'm actually going to disagree with you. I don't know. I still don't like him there. The frustration factor kind of irritates me. Now, if he's like an RB4 or whatever, and he can just rot away on my bench until Ball gets hurt, and then I can just plug him in, that's cool.
I certainly hope at the 10:04 you're not taking your RB3. Even you.
Bro. I don't know, man. I've been known to do it before. I've been known to take my RB2 there. Coach Mike McCarthy is, quote, excited for Dwan Harris, who's on the pup list right now, the preseason pup list with a knee injury, to return to practice because he, quote, views him as our starter. McCarthy, I want him to get back in there and earn it like he did all of last year. He made an impact on our offense. I like Mike McCarthy. I like Dwan Harris. There's no way that he starts week one for the Packers. No way. I mean, unless if James Starks, you know, has knee injuries again, Eddie Lacy still has that hamstring issue, Jonathan Franklin dies and Alex Green is arrested, you know, that's probably the only way I see Dwan Harris starting week one.
I don't see him starting. I think Lacy starts. I think it's just that's really truly coach speak. It just shows that McCarthy does talk out his rear end.
All right, let's burn through these Packers running backs here for Yaman or nine. Eddie Lacy, 603.
Yaman.
And he's been climbing from that.
I totally agree. Jonathan Franklin at the 1101.
9999999.
Totally agree. Juwan Harris with the third pick of the 20th round.
Yaman!
What?
I'm saying Yaman. I know you're saying nine. So you say nine to that. 20th round, I'll take him there. I wouldn't care.
I
the
can
thing
find
is, somebody. Like, I know I'm going to need running backs, you know? So,
I can find somebody better. Like the Panthers' defense.
Here's another guy who's going with the very last pick of the 20th round, James Starks. Yaman or nine?
9999999!
Agree with you there. I still think he might get cut. And then, of course, a guy who's only being taken in FFPC Draft Experts Leagues right now, Alex Green at the 2403. Dave?
9999999.
A little too rich for me.
Agree. let's go on and talk about the Bengals here. Joe Reedy from the Cincinnati Inquirer was also on SportsCenter yesterday. He said that Giovanni Bernard and Bajarvis Green-Ellis will open the season sharing carries 50-50. He said, Reedy also said that Bernard is going to dominate catches in the Bengals' backfield, giving him the potential for between 13 to 16 touches a game. Obviously, you know, we kind of thought that this was a role that Bernard would have to work to earn as the season went on. Apparently not. Apparently he's already there, you know. And the thing is, if he's already 50-50 coming into the season right now, by week four, week five, I mean, maybe he's the getting the lion's share of the touches there.
Well, I mean, I've watched the Bengals training camp on HBO Hard Knocks, and I would say that Bernard really looked good. He looked fantastic. He was cutting on a dime, moving all over the place. Now, granted, they didn't show Bajarvis Green-Ellis at all in that show, and we just know he's a middling talent. So, and I have really no interest in drafting a middling talent on any of my teams.
For Bajarvis Green-Ellis?
Yeah.
Okay. So if we were to play Yaman or nine, well, you know what? Not if we were going to play it. Let's play it. Giovanni Bernard, who's been climbing. I've seen him in the late fourth round already. But at the 606, which is where his ADP is right now.
Yaman!
Agree. And what if I said it was the 506? Would you take him at the 506?
Yaman!
I agree, too, because that's probably where I'm going to take my second running back. And I'm Giovanni Bernard has a lot of upside there, so I'm down with that for sure. Bajarvis Green-Ellis at the 808, Dave.
9999999.
Totally agree there because the limited upside, he's not a pedigreed guy, and he's going to be phased out as the season goes on. So I think we've seen the best of Bajarvis Green-Ellis.
I would assume like Bajarvis Green-Ellis falls like the 10th or 11th in a lot of these drafts.
That could be too, by the time, especially the FFPC mains. Like,
yeah.
Who's going to want to take Bajarvis Green-Ellis for $250,000?
Or yeah, for your your $1,600 entry fee, you're just like, ugh, man, let me throw him on there.
We have Mark Moyer coming up on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour in just a few minutes here. But before we get to him, one final running back situation backfield I want to talk about is the St. Louis Rams. This, of course, from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Yesterday morning, Coach Jeff Fisher says that in regards to the running back situation on his team, he hasn't ruled anybody out of starting that game.
Thanks for the help there, Fisher.
Right, and Fisher basically said on Tuesday earlier in the week, Richardson is probably going to be the starter because he, quote, played significantly more last year than anybody. But, I mean, Isaiah Pede, Zach Stacy still have a chance to win that starting job there. Of course, the Rams took on the Browns last night. I believe Darrell Richardson had 6 carries for 24 yards, and Pete and Stacy are both on underwhelming.
Yeah.
This situation, is it one you're avoiding in drafts?
No, I'll take Richardson at, you know, in that 7-8 range. I would take him. I really don't have any interest in Pete. I've never liked him.
Right, and he's suspended for the first game.
Yeah, and he lost his job to Richardson last year, never got it back.
Right.
Not that he had the job, but, you know, he lost that backup role.
Yeah.
And then Stacy, I actually like his skill set, but if he was cheap enough, if he was really cheap, and especially if I owned Richardson, I would look to have Stacy.
I'm going
to
play this game for you because I think I know you really well. And you tell me if I'm right on all these. Darrell Richardson at the 809.
Yeah,
Isaiah Pede at the 1109.
9999999.
Zach Stacy at the 1204.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
I would not take him there.
You wouldn't take him at the 1204? 12th round, Zach Stacy?
Probably not.
I thought you liked Zach Stacy's talent early.
I do like his talent, but
situation.
It seems to me like he's not really doing anything in camp. You don't hear much out of him. So, I mean, I'd probably Like you could take Kristen Michael. Even Kristen Michael would probably move up to like now the 11th because he had that big game.
Yeah.
I'd rather have him at that spot.
Yeah.
Just as an example.
I did it the same way. I did it how I thought you would do it, but that's actually how I would do it. Hmm. I would take Stacey in the 12th. I would take Richardson in the 8th. And I would not take Pede in the whatever it was, the 11:09. No,
yeah,
thanks.
Yeah.
Which is weird, you know, because it's like the distance between Isaiah Pede and Zach Stacey is 7 picks. So apparently I just hate Pede.
He
was a second-round pick last year.
I never liked Pede. He had that super low speed score, like a 98 speed score. He didn't have great agility. Well, his agility metrics are okay, but not like Stacey. Stacey's really, you know, he's 216, 5'8", 5'9".
Right.
He's got that build.
Talking about another backfield real quick, the Seattle Seahawks, is Robert Turbin a forgotten man there? Is he just the third guy and Michael's going to be the backup to Lynch?
Yeah, they're not going to name that right away, but that's for sure what's going to happen.
So if you're going to take Marshawn Lynch in the draft, you'd be sure to get Kristen Michael.
Yeah, and I traded in a dynasty league. I traded for Lynch, and then I traded up to get Michael in the early second round just because that's the way I anticipated it happening. And I traded away Turbin in a league that I had no interest in any of those players.
What round, if you had a mid? Let's say you had.
Turbin was a fourth.
Let's say you had the 10th overall pick. Okay, so you're and you take Lynch in the late first, early second.
Which I wouldn't do, but go ahead.
Okay, let's just say if you did, because that's where he's going. Would you then target Kristen Michael in the 10th round? Is that where you would look to handcuff him, or would you get him around earlier?
I mean, if his ADP was at like the, let's say the 10:06, I would probably try and grab him sometime in the 9th because he's a guy that I really would want to back up Lynch.
We are broadcasting live here from the Verizon Studios on blogtalkradio.com/HSFF. Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak on High Stakes Fantasy Football. I want to bring in tonight's first guest, I should say. His high stakes career began in the 2003 WCOF when he won the Auction League and finished second in the Draft Masters League that year, and he has been hooked ever since. In 2005, he won $25,000 by finishing first and fifth in the National Fantasy VIP contest. He was also the only player to ever win two overall WCOF championships when he went back-to-back in 2005 and 2006 in the Draft Masters Championship. The following year, in 2007, he won the NFFC Fantasy Sports Magazine League. He won the WCOF 10K League and the WCOF Hall of Fame League.
We're not even going to have a chance to interview him with all this crap.
But that same year, Dave.
All right.
He was at church on Christmas Eve. Jason Elam kicked a field goal. Denver's only points that game. It cost him nearly $30,000 when Elam cost him that game. He lost by 0.05.
Ouch.
Not 0.5. 0.05 points in the NFFC Ultimate League Championship. Hopefully, he will have a better time on the show tonight. Please welcome into the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour from Follow Me, Mr. Mark Moyer.
Nice
Mark,
job.
I'm sorry I butchered your name, but how's it going tonight?
I kind of expected Dave to do that part.
Well, listen,
I'll butcher you soon.
We'll have a long interview. I'll be sure that he is going to screw things up big time regarding your name and other things tonight. So it's going to be a lot of fun, Mark. We already talked about your high-stakes career. We're going to get into more of that later. But I want to find out and just tell the listeners where you call home and what you do for a living.
I'm currently living in Laurel, Maryland, which is about halfway between Baltimore and D.C., which means I get to enjoy traffic no matter which way I want to go. And I do mostly computer support stuff.
Computer support stuff. There you go. Mark, we've talked about this before when, you know, you and I are bouncing trade offers in our Dynasty League together, or you and Dave are trading offers. And I'm always like, you know, Mark, it doesn't matter what time of day it is, you know. He'll send a trade offer at 3 a.m., and then at noon he'll send a counter, and then he'll send a random email at 9 at night. Like, I don't know when you sleep. I said to Dave, I'm like, what does he do for a living? Like, oh, I'm not really sure. And we've always kind of, like, argued about it over there, but I'm not at all surprised that you keep these strange hours that I'm getting these trade offers emailed to me. It's always fun whenever I get a Mark Moyer email.
Yep, lots of odd hours, lots of odd conversations. That's what computer people do.
That's true.
That's
what we do too, and we don't even work in computers.
I've always thought that Moyer, he's like, he programs the Whopper computer like in War Games, because he runs old like,
nobody's supposed to know that.
Were you working out of Langley, Virginia? and you claim you're in Maryland?
Yes.
So Eric talked a little bit about it, but tell us a little bit more about how long you've been playing fantasy football, Mark, and then how'd you get involved in high stakes?
We started way, way, way back when with a family league back in the late 90s, using AOL and, you know, my brother's But my brother-in-law's brother ran the league, actually, and he'd have to compile all the stats, you know, out of the newspapers and whatnot. It was, you know, you emailed your lineup in, and, you know, he took care of it from there. So you wouldn't know who won till, you know, Tuesday or Wednesday of the next week. You know, it was you know, way back when. I know, matter of fact, it was an auto draft. You got kind of, you know, handed your team. You know, they pushed the button and here's your team and do with it what you want.
So awful.
Well, it was actually good because you had somebody else to blame for all your mistakes.
that's the total bulky aspect of it that I love.
Yeah. And then that was, like I said, in the late 90s. Then I branched off, played a couple of ant sports leagues, and back then the KFFL had some leagues. And finally got to, you know, when the Wyckoffs got started up, I looked into that the very first year that they started, but there were so many high-stakes types of leagues back then that were, you know, running 1 year and folding or not paying out. You know, there are just all sorts of problems with them. So I didn't play the first year of the Wyckoff. I wanted to, you know, make sure that they were legit and whatnot, and then I jumped in the second year, and I've just been digging myself into a deeper and deeper hole every year.
So, Mark, have you been to the Ant Sports site lately? That's really changed over the years, huh?
Yeah, and I ended up giving up I forget exactly what year, but 1 year they ended up getting a virus on their message board, and I ended up getting that on my laptop. So,
did you plant that virus on their message board from Langley?
No comment.
But just send them a denial of service attack. You could hack one of those in there right away, right?
So that was the end of Ant Sports when I did that. So I cut them off. That was always a good site. I liked them. You know, they did a lot of mock drafts and whatnot at the beginning of the year, but, you know, I cut them off right after the virus.
Mark, you know, you're a very accomplished player. You play in a lot of leagues. You've done a ton of FFPC 77, some draft experts leagues in 2013 already. But as far as 2012 goes, how did last season turn out for you?
I didn't do much of the draft masters type stuff in the, you know, the high stakes stuff, the FFPC or whatnot. Last year, I did a lot of auction stuff last year, and I did the four Taylor out of the FFPC last year, and I think that might have been the only one. My private leagues went fairly well. I cashed in about half of those, but I didn't do a whole lot of the high stakes stuff last year. I'm back into it a lot more this year than I was last year.
So, Mark, before we get to talking about redrafts and dynasty and DEs, you and I, we play in a lot of dynasty leagues together, unfortunately for me. And, you know, you keep hoarding all the tight ends, by the way, so I appreciate
it. I thought you
it.
Stole a tight end on him this year.
No, he made a trade with me, and then he took Kelce. Although I got Kelce back on you in another
one,
right?
That's what I was referring to.
All right, good. So I have a question. I do have a question. So I wanted to ask you about the rookie draft. So, you know, we play in these leagues together, and you frequently are trading down in rookie drafts. You know, and I'm often the sucker that's trading up with you and giving away my other picks. But tell us your philosophy on that, if you don't mind. And don't worry, none of the guys in our leagues are listening.
They never do.
And, no. You know, tell us your philosophy about trying to acquire a lot of those second, third, and fourth round rookie picks.
I want to acquire anybody that you're not after. That's generally what I'm doing, trying to figure out who you're not going to get and then go get them.
Hey, that works. Works really well. Yes. Trust me.
Yes. Now, in the leagues that we're in together, there's no cap on the roster in the off season. So, you know, during the season we may have a roster cap of, you know, 21 or 22, but during the off season it's unlimited. So if I can acquire, you know, three or four extra rookie picks, then that's three or four darts I have more going into the, you know, preseason. So when the flies start dropping, I've got a few extra ones left. So that's basically the idea. Is they're all crapshoots once you get past the beginning of the second round, generally anyway. And I'd rather get four or five darts than just two. It also allows me to back up people. Like I know in our Pirate Swags League, I picked up, I think, Pierre Thomas you know, somewhere along the line. And then I think I got Forsett to back up Maurice Jones-Drew because Jennings left. So I can you know, quote-unquote, waste those picks on guys to back up my starters in case they get injured during preseason and, you know, try to maybe pick up a kicker, you know, if my kicker retired like Hansen or something like that.
Talking with
so
I'm
not really looking for talent. I'm looking to fill in my roster and to get to more darts.
It's all about the darts.
Yeah. Get the quiver.
I was thinking like more eggs in a basket. Like you, Mark has the biggest basket of any dynasty owner because he's got so many eggs.
My basket has a hole in it.
Mark Moyer, of course, FFPC player, plays in Draft Experts. A lot of auction leagues last year, and we play privately in a couple of leagues with him as well. And another interesting philosophy we've noticed with you, Mark, and when we're talking about the DEs, this is actually something that Dave told me, I don't even know how many years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. And
after I read the book that he was a part writer.
Exit. There you go.
I need the autograph. But there.
And you always seem to draft in these 26-round DEs, take three quarterbacks, three tight ends, three kickers, three defensive and special teams. What's the thought behind getting three of each of those? And do you ever find yourself switching off that strategy much?
Usually not. It's just a matter of math. There's the kickers and the defenses are, you know, fairly fluctual, you know, from 1 year to the next. Matter of fact, I went back and pulled up a few just to kind of glance at them, and you know, I found one where, you know, the three kickers I took were, you know, Jason Elam, who ended up, you know, missing half the season because he got hurt, and Hartley from New Orleans, who missed the whole year, and Josh
right.
Brown from St. Louis, who's coming off a great year, but then St. Louis stunk and he was horrible. So even though I took three kickers, I was the last in the league in scoring from kickers because even with three of them, they all stunk. So by taking three, you obviously increase your chances of at least one of them doing well. And you know, my biggest fear is always having two, but then one of them getting injured and then having to play the year with one. You know, if you could take two and know that they were both going to play the year and finish, you know, even 15th and 16th in scoring, you know, you'd be okay. But unfortunately, you don't know that, and you're just better off with the mathematically with the three numbers. Way back when I was doing the book, I you know, ran all sorts of numbers and whatnot, and did some examples and stuff, and you know, not to bore people with too many numbers, but the idea way back then, the teams that took three kickers averaged 175 points a game, and the teams with two kickers, or not a game, but a year, 175 points, the teams that took two only averaged 147. So they averaged 28 points a game more with three kickers versus two kickers. And those numbers, you know, when I went back and forward a couple of years, were fairly consistent, where teams that took three kickers ended up averaging 25 to 30 points more per year than the teams with two kickers. So at that point, you can just decide, you know, are you better off taking, you know, because you're probably taking your third kicker in the 20th, 22nd round, how many guys you're going to be able to take, you know, in that round, they're going to guarantee, quote unquote, guarantee you, you know, 25 to 30 points more for the year, and it's not many. If you go back again and just pull up some random drafts, you'll see that from the 12th or 14th round on, the running backs that are drafted, there's generally no more than four or five or six that score over 100 points. So what are the chances that you are going to get one of those four or five or six running backs that score over 100 points that might help you gain 20 points, you know, over the course of the year? So it's just a matter of math, and you know, having more is better. Now, with the defenses, people will argue the defenses don't get hurt, and you know, so there's no sense in having three. But it's the same deal. The teams that draft – three defenses score 30 to 40 points more each year than the teams that draft two. So between the two, just the kickers and the defenses, if you take three defenses and three kickers, on average you're scoring 50 to 70 points more than the guys that pick just two of each. Now, the guys that only take two of each now have two other players, you know, so it kind of, you know, just depends on which camp do you want to fall into.
So that's, I just think that's such an interesting strategy, and I actually, just having known that for a while, you probably didn't hear the show, but there was a draft I was commissioning. It was a 77s or a 150D, and one guy ended up taking six defenses, which I think he was doing it because the rest of the draft wasn't taking more than two, and he and only two other drafters ended up with three defenses or more. So I mean, he really truly did screw over the rest right. of the draft, but he screwed up his own team, but he really helped out the other two owners that only had three, or yeah. that had the three that were correct.
Sounds like collusion to me, Dave. I hope you investigated that.
Yeah, well, that's just it. Occasionally somebody does that, and depending on when they do it, for example, in one of those 77s, I ended up actually with four defenses because something odd happened in the draft, and for some reason I just decided, you know, partway through the draft that I was just going to, you know, nail all the defenses at the end of the draft. They're all going to be terrible defenses, but I was going to get lots of them, and, you know, we'll see what happens at that point. So I ended up drafting, I believe it was four defenses in the last five rounds. Well, there aren't many useful players I'm going to get at the end of the draft anyway. So, and I got better players up in the, you know, 16th, 17th, 18th rounds where I would normally take a defense. So, you know, that was kind of like an experiment for me. I'll see, you know, how that works out a little later. But again, when I was doing the book, it just so happened that that one year at the Wyckoff, the one team drafted five defenses, and they drafted most of them fairly early. You know, it was like the same time everybody else is drafting defenses, they drafted five.
Wow.
And that did it. Messed everybody else up. You know, they were, you know, scrambling then for defenses and, you know, kind of messed people up. But mathematically, he didn't end up doing any better than the teams that took only three defenses, because eventually it doesn't matter. You know, unless you're getting... Unless you're getting five really, really good defenses, if you've got out of your five, if two of them are really good and three of them are, you know, mediocre, they're not going to help you that much. You know, now, of course, you don't know which ones are going to be the good ones and which ones are going to be the bad ones. So if you take five, you have a better chance of getting a good one. But it just so happens in this one example, the guy that took five didn't do any better than the teams that took three. Now, in this draft, even despite the fact the one guy took five, the example I used, the Oakland Raiders, ended up being the 16th, the middle defense. If they had had a middle defense in addition to their five defenses, they still would have scored 28 more points. So their defenses didn't fare so well. They finished, you know, three of them finished in the 20s and one finished in the teens. So he had five defenses, but they ended up all being weak. So that just happened to be one instance where that didn't work. Now, if he'd have had five really, you know, three really good defenses and two really weak defenses, then it might have been another story. But eventually there's a number where it doesn't matter anymore. And in my opinion, that's between three and four. You know, it really doesn't make any difference whether you have three or four. Over the long haul, it just doesn't matter that much mathematically.
And folks, if you couldn't follow all of that, because there's a lot of numbers and math in there, two things. One, it's true because it's in a book. And two, Mark Moyer has a massive wallet because of applying those strategies. So go back, rewind it, listen to it, apply it, you'll win.
Wait, hey, Mark, I got to confess something. That we're playing a drinking game that every time you said defenses, I had to take a shot, and I'm totally drunk right now.
And we're out of whiskey.
You mean drunker than usual.
Ah, very good. So Danny Woodhead, you stole him from me in a Dynasty League in a trade as a throw-in. Thanks a lot. And now
You're
everyone's
welcome.
Taking him early, including you, my man. Tell us a little bit how about your love for Woodhead this year.
I think it's more of a dislike for Matthews. But Woodhead just seems to do it every year. You know, he's just one of those guys. He plays all the time. I believe he's missed two games in since he started playing with the Jets partway through 1 year. He's missed two games in 4 or 5 years, and one of those was when he got traded. The Jets traded him to New England, and he missed a game in between, you know, because they did it during the season. So he missed a game there. So those are like the only – he's only missed two games. He plays all the time. He somehow ends up in the end zone all the time. Now, I don't know – you know, that could have been because he was with New England, but he's actually scored as many career touchdowns as Ryan Matthews has, and he's had half as many touches. So – you know, he scores, he plays, you know, and I can't say the same for Matthews. You know, he misses a lot of time and he doesn't score. So,
doesn't score, doesn't play. Woodhead scores and plays. I'm sold.
I wonder who's picking up the chicks at the bar.
There you go, exactly.
Yeah, I'm sure Woodhead has the better pickup line.
You know, in addition to Woodhead, In addition to Woodhead, Mark, of course, Mark Moyer, we're talking to tonight's guest on the HSFF Hour. I noticed you picked up Reggie Wayne in a couple of the DEs you've done already this year. The last few weeks, the guests on our show have kind of been staying away from him, given his age and the new offense that he's in Indianapolis. And actually, I thought Dave was on this as well, but Dave and I had a conversation the other day. I think he likes Reggie Wayne again.
Well,
You don't dislike him.
Yeah, I'm not totally – I mean, considering where he's going, I'm not totally hating him. Totally.
Right. Well, Mark, why do you like Reggie Wayne in 2013 as a productive fantasy receiver?
Well, I haven't done many real – well, matter of fact, I don't believe I've done any 12-team redraft drafts yet. So I really don't know where he's going, you know, what his ADP is in a regular 12-team redraft.
He's got to run that through the supercomputer at work.
Yeah,
you'll calculate that.
Yeah, that's true. He's going at the 501 right now in redraft leagues.
In redraft, he's at 5-1?
About 501, yeah.
Okay. Awesome. In most of the Draftmaster type ones I'm going, he's going mid-fifth is generally where he's going. And the idea being, at least for me, if you look at where, you know, whatever points you're projecting him to get, and even if you're on the low end, you know, when I clicked around at some of the sites to see, you know, what other people are projecting him at, and I went to three or four different, you know, big name sites and looked, and some of them have him going for, you know, 250 points this year, some of them have him going as low as 210 points. But even if you have him going for, you know, 200 points this year, if you took a look at the guys that are, you know, 10 spots ahead of them and 10 spots behind them, and then ranked them as to which ones do you think are going to play, you know, all 16 games, there's very few of them other than Reggie Wayne that you know, I feel confident are going to play all 16 games this year. And if I'm going to be taking, you know, somebody, you know, as my number two or number three wide receiver, I want them available every week. You know, I don't want Percy Harvin, you know, who even if he hadn't, you know, gotten this new injury, I still don't think he's going to play 16 games. So I'd rather have 16 games of consistent Reggie Wayne, even though it might not be quite as high as what people are used to him getting, than I do, you know, the big scores of somebody like Percy Harvin for 12 weeks. You know, that's just my philosophy.
It's a little underrated, actually. We don't talk about that a lot. It's
right.
Like, I draft guys that play, is what Mark's saying.
Right. Well, exactly. And I think the recurring theme that we're getting tonight, Mark Moyer, let me get as many dynasty rookie draft picks as possible. Let me draft as many defenses, kickers, quarterbacks, you know, underlooked positions as possible. Let me draft guys who are going to play as many games as possible. So, I mean, if you're getting guys who are playing and just you're getting more guys than the other players you're playing against, chances are you're going to be more successful.
Exactly. Again, that's just, you know, my opinion, you know, and going back and looking through, you know, lots and lots of different drafts and results. You know, somebody who has 20 people scoring every week is going to do better than somebody that has 16 people scoring every week, even if the guy with 16 has two or three, you know, that are above and beyond the rest. And, you know, as we're talking, I'm trying to click around and see if I can find where it was, but I'm not coming up with it. There was in this one, again, in this one draft for the that I used for the book, the one guy in the league had gotten, you know, the top running back surprise for the year and the top wide receiver running back for the year and the top quarterback surprise for the year. I mean, of the three or four big name surprise people for the year, he got them. So he hit on all of the big ones, but he took just two defenses, two kickers, two tight ends, and one of them got hurt. And, you know, so he flubbed up in those three positions. So even though he hit all of the other, you know, the big ones, you know, he got lucky and hit all of the big ones, he still finished third or fourth or fifth because he'd only taken, you know, two of each of the other positions and he had a lot of injuries. So if
frustrating to be sure to not hit those quantities. Mark Moyer is our guest tonight on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. If we were to ask you what the sweet spot was, and I know you said you haven't done any 12-team redraft leagues, and you obviously haven't looked at a whole lot of ADP analysis, but if I said you could have any slot 1 through 12 in the FFPC main event, what draft spot would you want to draft out of in that format this year?
I'm guessing in the middle. I've been stuck on the ends of a lot of my drafts, and it depends on, again, if you're using third round reversal or not. If you're, you know, on one end or the other, you have a crack at getting three running backs with your first three picks. You know, if somebody like Maurice Jones-Drew or Sproles or Reggie Bush, you know, if one of those guys drop, you can get three good running backs with your first three picks. If they don't drop, then whoever it is you're taking at the beginning of the third round isn't really worth it. You know, you're either taking somebody too early or too late, and there just doesn't seem to be a good pick for the beginning of the third round if one of those good running backs doesn't fall. And if you, you know, don't go running back, if you go, you know, receiver, running back, or running back, receiver, then that third pick, if you really want a running back and you don't get it, you're kind of stuck. So I think if you're in the middle, then that, you know, second to third turn isn't quite as important, and you have a better chance of getting stuff to fall in the middle than you do, you know, on either end.
More and more people, the guests that we've been having on, they're saying the middle is where to draft this year, and you're agreeing with them too.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm finding that in, you know, in the Draft Masters type of stuff that I've been doing, the middle, you know, being on the ends works out great if I can get that running back at the beginning of the third. If I can't get the running back at the beginning of the third, then I'm really hating being on the ends. And being in the middle, it just seems to work out. You know, whenever I'm in the middle, it just always seems to work out.
So Mark, we're gonna play one of our favorite segments. It's called Spill Your Guts.
Woohoo!
So, Mark, give us one player that will be a big-time fantasy bust this year in FFPC drafts, as well as the football guys' drafts, and one big sleeper. You're going to have to give us a real one that's going to help everyone out in 2013. No kickers, no defenses.
Well, see, that's one of the ones that I really liked early in the spring when Dawson signed with San Francisco. You know, I'm like, immediately he goes to the top of my list.
Dawson, and, check.
Yeah, exactly. But nobody was taking him there. Now, as time goes on, you know, he's starting to filter up, and now he quite often is going in the first, you know, three or four kickers picked. But there's a lot of guys that I don't like that, you know, may or may not bust. You know, somebody like LeSean McCoy. If he stays in his offense, you know, if it's still Andy Reid and it's still his offense, then I'm all over, you know, LeSean McCoy. But we're in a new offense. They'll most likely run the ball a ton, but, you know, we don't know. And I don't like that uncertainty. So I've been, you know, I'm not going to skip him. I'm not going to pass on him, but I'm also not going out and getting, you know, LeSean McCoy. Trent Richardson is another one. He just, they got a new offense. They may throw the ball more than they force-fed him, you know, running the ball last year. And he was dinged up a bit last year. He's been dinged up already this spring. He's another one that, again, I'm not going to skip him. I'm not going to pass on him, but I'm not going to make sure I go out and get him either.
All right. So how about a sleeper?
There haven't been a whole lot of those that I think are going to, you know, be great. In the Draft Masters format, you know, again, Phil Dawson was one, you know, early in the year. I haven't gotten to the point yet where I'm really looking at that, because in the Draft Masters, I'm making sure I get guys that score. You know, when we're at the end of the draft, I'm taking, you know, my backup running back to my starter, you know, like Jason Snelling to back up Steven Jackson, or I'm taking a Hickson to back up Steve Smith, a Nate Burleson, because I still think he can do better than Broyles. You know, so I'm taking guys that are projected to be, you know, quote unquote useless, but I think will score, you know, 100 plus points this year and will help me out, you know, 5 or 6 games. You know, breakout guys, Reuben Randall, I have him on a ton of dynasty teams because I don't trust Knicks, and the third wide receiver in New York always seems to come up and do something. The Giants have had, you know, wide receivers out the wazoo, you know, in history. You know, Steve Smith, the new Steve Smith, who is now old, you know, broke out. Mario Manningham. They've just had a ton of wide receivers come through the Giants, and so Randall is one, you know, as far as a dynasty type of guy that, you know, could break out this year, is a guy I like.
I love it. I love it, and I love Mark Moyer coming on the show tonight. Mark, this was fun. It was enlightening, and I can't wait to talk to you when we get out to Vegas this year. It was a pleasure. Good luck to you in all your leagues this year, except for, of course, Dynasty Kings and Pirate Swag.
Well, I've already goofed those two up this year, so we're looking to next year for both of those.
I'm rebuilding too, don't worry.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mark. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Mark.
Mark Moyer, the draft experts, auction, dynasty, does it all. Very analytical guy.
I think he's cruelly efficient is what I would term him.
Well, that's a good team name, cruelly efficient.
It's a little tough to say.
Cruelly efficient, cruelly efficient, cruelly efficient.
Well, if you make it like two syllables instead of cruelly, truly be just tougher.
It's interesting, too, because, sorry, I didn't mean to blow you out there. Rob, can we get the levels down? Thank you. It's interesting, too, to think about, and you know, it's so obvious what he's been doing in all these auction leagues, or not auction, the dynasty leagues and the DEs. Acquire more players. Have more bullets. You know, have more darts, as he said. And if you have that, invariably the dude in a gunfight with more bullets, he's probably going to be the guy who survives.
And that's the thing, is people really do try and they want their guy, so they'll be willing to pay anything for it, and Mark's willing to give it up. So there you go.
I want to bring in tonight's second guest tonight. He's a high-stakes veteran. He owns dual citizenship in both Toronto and Raleigh, Dave. He runs a hockey academy full-time. He also helped run, the FFOC contest.
Just bring him on so we can talk.
All right, fine. He's beginning the fourth year running Stanima Fantasy Sports. Stan Mythios from Stanima.com. How's it going tonight, man?
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's definitely our pleasure to bring you on. Dave was all excited about this, and in turn, I became excited about it. We were just all like giddy little schoolgirls at work today. We just couldn't wait to have you on, man. I want to take the time to list the litany of the success you've had in the WCOF and the FFPC. We just don't have enough time, but I'm just reading over it. And my goodness, you've had a really productive last few years competing.
Yeah, I'm not one of those guys that plays multiple main event teams in the same contest or multiple satellites or stuff like that. And
why not?
I think sometimes, you know, because I just don't think I'm smart enough to play that many different teams. I mean, I always figure that you sort of like your players, you take them in all the same drafts anyway. So why? I'm not the type of guy that wants to take all sorts of different players on different teams. Sort of focus in on the guys you like, and then if they do well, they do well, and if they don't, then you do bad everywhere. But if they do well, then you do well everywhere too. So it's just sort of the way I've always done it.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. 2009 WCOF swept best record, total points. FFPC main event in 2011, third place in the league, won the league championship. 2012 FFPC main swept best record in total points. It's clear Stan knows what he's talking
about.
That's
really, it's really good when you just have one team. That's really fantastic.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So, Stan, tell us a little bit about the Stanimal Fantasy Sports and the contest you guys offer out there.
Well, for this is our fourth season now, and it's a great format where, you know, every contest has their little niche. I mean, you guys have a cool thing happening with your tight end. Some places, other contests will put different emphasis on other positions. We're about the quarterback. We think that the quarterback is what people want to tune in and watch every Sunday. So one of the real neat things that we do is we allow a quarterback to be used as your flex position player in your starting lineup every week. It certainly has a huge impact on our drafts, because you will see quarterbacks going significantly earlier than what they would normally do in, let's say, an FFPC draft or a football guy's draft, because you can start two of them. And we just find that that's an exciting little thing that we have, because, you know, when you're watching football, you're watching the quarterback. So we find that when you have a format that structures itself to that, you definitely have a lot of fun watching and a lot of rooting interest every Sunday. And of course, the other thing that our format has, which is unique, is there are only 10-team leagues, so the regular season is quick. It's a sprint. But we get into the live cut-line playoffs, and that's just exciting. And, you know, people have described it as fantasy football on speed. It's not an
analysis that this show has had. Nobody describes it as fantasy football podcast on speed. We're like a lifeless fantasy football podcast, except when we have the great Stan Matthews on. I'm sorry, Stan, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I'm flattered that you would even remotely call me great after the guest that you just had. I was listening to his accomplishments going, man, do I really have to come on after this guy? He's like really smart. And he's like,
we cover kickers and defense.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, watching your team fight the cut line and trying to survive over a six-week playoff is a lot of fun. And of course, we invite our Week 16 finalists to come out to Vegas and hang out together in a sports book. And it just builds a lot of community, which is what we all do this for, really. I mean, we all like to win money, and we all like to have fun and brag and build our egos. But it's also about building a community and a network of friends. And even if they're online friends, they're still friends. So it's good to all actually, you know, get together at the end of the season with a few finalists and hang out in Vegas. Of course, you know, you guys do it at the beginning of the season on a huge grand scale. And I've been lucky to attend your events the last few years, and they're great. I mean, you know, amongst the best I've ever been at, and hats off to you guys for that. But it's a lot of fun meeting our finalists in Vegas every year and fighting it out to the finish.
And two, you talked about you know, building that community, and that's certainly something that Alex and Dave have been doing at the FFPC for the last few years. But two, I mean, you did that too in 2010 and 2011 with those free contests that you ran. You know, sort I don't want to say it out of the goodness of your heart, but it was definitely out of the green of your wallet that you paid a lot of free teams in 2010 and 2011 for a lot of people, and that helped build the community that is now at Stanima Fantasy Sports. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, one thing the FFOC, it was a blast. I mean, those were two fun years of my life. And I'll tell you, it was so much fun that I wanted to keep doing it. And, you know, I wanted that contest to keep going. I mean, not all of the people who were involved in that contest at the time were on the same page. But, I mean, the one thing that I was always adamant about when it was getting closed down was, listen, I think we should just run, you know, one more year, just to get rid of all these free teams so that we don't leave it hanging like this. And, my opinion, unfortunately, was not the one that won out. And there was no way that I could have kept on in the industry, even on the smaller scale that I'm doing it now. Of course, you know, we're not doing million-dollar prizes over at Stanima. But there was no way I could do that if I wasn't at least going to acknowledge that, you know what, I think that something has to be done for the players that did not have a chance to redeem any of these free entries that they would have won to a future contest. So the first year I just did, you know, a free contest, but, you know, you could only have one entry, but let's just do this. And, you know, I put up, I think, around $25,000 worth of prize money, and we played for it, you know, using the exact same game structure and format. And then the following year, We continue to honor free teams for the people that were sort of left hanging from the FFOC, but we did it attached to a purchase. So, you know, if you had only one free team owed to you, we said buy one, get one. If you had, you know, three or four free teams owed to you, we said, you know, buy one, get two free ones, and so on. And we had a different threshold of promos available right up to, you know, buy one, get four free type of thing. And we ran that for 2 years where we were, you know, giving people a chance to come and play a whole bunch of free teams with us. And, you know, hopefully we satisfied a lot of them. And if we didn't, you know, we used the same medium to try and reach out to everybody. And a lot of people did take advantage of it. So, you know, now you got to pay to play with us. Although I'll tell you, I ran a promo tonight for our draft tonight where I will go into everyone's player's account who drafted tonight and give a credit equal to the amount of the Raiders' first field goal points. And I'm a Raider fan, and I get joked about that all the time, but Sebastian Janikowski kicked a 51-yarder. Yeah, that didn't work out. But so about the draft, and we had some fun with it. So I got to go in there and credit $51 to everyone's accounts when I'm done on the show here.
But you're not even in a pissy mood.
I know. It's just so jovial. Like, oh yeah, I got to give all this money away, so I'm going to keep talking to you guys for a little bit.
Sam, I'm going to ask you about Spiller Guts.
You got to bribe people to be Raider fans these days.
Ain't that the truth? I'm going to do Spill Your Guts, and we're running short on time, but before we get into that, I just want to say, you really took a lot of heat with FFOC shutting down because you were really the face of the contest. But, I mean, as you know, we've gotten – and that was even from me as well back in the day. But really, I just got to say that you're really a classy guy and that, as I've gotten to know you over the years, you really stood behind what they failed to stand behind. And, I think high-stakes players appreciate that.
Oh, well, thanks. I mean, like I said, I'm a player myself, and – I didn't like the way that whole thing ended, and I felt that, you know, something had to be done to acknowledge the fact that players, you know, should have had something at least to play for with those entries that were left hanging and, you know, put a contest together, and that's what we did. So, but thanks, you know, that was the intention of it, was to try and make good with as many people as possible. And the thing is, you know, I like playing in those live events in Vegas every year, and I don't think I'd be very welcome at any of them if I was, you know, associated as some shill that, you know, scoot a bunch of people out of a bunch of teams. So, got to do something.
There you go. Fair enough. So, spill your guts. So now you got to tell us some
actual real analysis.
Yeah.
You can't just be Santa Claus anymore. You have to tell us who you like and who you don't like.
We want the present. So give us a sleeper and give us a fantasy bust.
Well, my sleeper would have been a lot better if I was on your show yesterday, because the guy that I've always thought of kind of liked was Chris Givens, because I don't have a lot of faith in rookie wide receivers. And, you know, I don't care how high they drafted Austin. There's no guarantee that he's going to catch on right away. And for all you know, Jared Cook's going to be the same, you know, sort of bust that he was in Tennessee. So somebody had to get the ball on that team and in that offense. So Givens was one sleeper that I was sort of thinking, geez, you know, there's a guy who could finish as a top 20 receiver who's probably getting drafted, you know, after the 10th round or maybe even the 15th round. Like, he could end up being this year's Eric Decker, where you can get him in the 18th round if you're drafting in June and July, but you're probably going to end up having to spend a 9th or 10th round pick on him if you're drafting in September. So that's one guy that I've always liked. And for your format, the other guy that I thought would be a nice little snag would be Mercedes Lewis, because Blackman's going to be out, I think, for a few games early, and that could give them a chance to use Lewis as an extra option. And sometimes guys get off to good starts, and that's all they need. They just carry that the rest of the way.
I'm sorry, Stan. We
what the hell is going on?
I don't know. Listen, Stan, it was a pleasure having you on. Before we let you go, you correct me if I biff any of this. But I want to tell everybody that the website that people can go to is stanima.com. And you guys are also on Facebook at Stanima Fantasy Sports. You're on Twitter at The Stanima. And right now, you can set up a player account at stanima.com for free. There's no purchase attached. There's promos, discounts on Facebook and Twitter. If you like Stan with Fantasy Sports on Facebook and follow you on Twitter, you get a free entry into the Pick One contest too. So you guys got a lot of good stuff going on there right now, man.
Yeah, and before you go, I need you guys to throw out Darren McFadden ADP, because that's going to be our promo for tomorrow night's draft. Whatever his average draft position is in your drafts is going to be tomorrow night's promo in terms of a dollar value.
What is it?
Well, currently he is going at the 305, the fifth pick of the third round for Darren McFadden in FFPC and Football Guys drafts right now. That's where he is going.
So he's going 35 overall? Is that what you said?
He is going, well, 29th overall, but he is going at the 305, the fifth pick of the third round.
So anyone drafting with us tomorrow who buys a Tier 2 team will get $29 credited back to their accounts after the draft, which works out better than Sebastian Janikowski kicking a 51-yard field goal tonight.
Love it.
Sure does.
Stan Mithios, listen, Stan, it was a pleasure hanging out with you tonight. We're going to see you out in Vegas. I look forward to that. Stanima.com, check it out, and, of course, The Stanima on Twitter. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, guys, thanks for this. It was fun.
Hey, thanks, Stan. We'll see you later.
All right, good night.
Good night to Stan Mithios. Good guy. Glad we had him on the show. Honestly, I don't want to, take any credit away from Stan, but when your name's Stan and you come up with a cut line championship called Stanima, it just kind of falls into place. I mean, like, his parents had to know something there when they named him. So anyway, that is going to do it for this extended show. We went a little overtime tonight. I hope nobody is concerned about that. I'm sorry we took you away from the Cowboys-Raiders game. Hopefully you're watching it like we were in the Verizon studios.
Still tied at 3.
I want to preview next week's show real briefly. It is the Kentucky Gala Extravaganza next week, Dave. Not one, not two, but three guests. John Duckworth, of course, the runner-up last year in the KFFSC main event. He's the two-time defending Big Payback champion there.
Don't remind me.
He's going to be on the show. Of course, the 2012 overall champion, Brad Cruz, who you can see in the FFPC video. Don Erickson interviewed him there, and we're going to have him on the show next week. And, of course, the commissioner, Farrell Elliott, from the KFFSC, all going to be on the show next week. It's going to be baller is our Kentucky preview show. And I do believe, this isn't confirmed, I do believe we're going to be doing a show live from the Kentucky Horseshoe, hardwired so it won't be bad audio like it was last year. It's going to be a great show this year.
That is really exciting. I'm really excited about it. And if you're not doing anything else,
right,
feel free to join the Football Guys Players Championship and win $250,000 all weekend. We have drafts going all weekend.
I'm commissioning a ton of them.
I feel like we're promoting
tomorrow. Everybody
else, but
yeah,
not ourselves.
Well, you should. And people can go to myffpc.com to sign up for that. What's the actual URL? Is it myffpc.com/footballguys?
I just go to myffpc.com
and then
you can find
register.
It.
The
navs work pretty well.
It's right on there. Click on Black Eye Joe.
The play menu.
I want to thank Mark Moyer, Stan Mithios, our audio engineer Bryce, and producer and mutual friend Rob. You can catch me on SiriusXM 210-87 coming up at the bottom of the hour at 11:30 Eastern Time. I'll be on with Jeff Manns on the Fantasy Alarm Show talking some fantasy football there. And football's back, baby. We're all excited for it to be back. Preseason week one is going to be in the books by the next time we broadcast. And I hope everybody else enjoys the rest of the weekend. It was a great show. It's a great weekend for football. And now the drafts are starting to get serious.
I know. Guys are moving up and down.
It's going to be crazy. We're going to be here every step of the way. We will join you next week for our big Kentucky Gala Extravaganza show. For Dave Gerzak, I'm Eric Balkman. Your weekend officially starts now.
This has been yet another episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com. It was broadcast live and can be downloaded at any time from iTunes or blogtalkradio.com/HSFF. Eric and Dave will be back next week with more analysis, interviews, and advice from a guest much smarter than they are. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk with you again next week.